That's okay. You are in my heart, so it's beyond this microphone got nothing on me.
Ah, thank you. Welcome back, Intimates. Thanks for your support on Patreon, making this 2021 season possible. This podcast is about all things intimate: relationships, love, connection, community, consensual non-monogamy, kink, orgies, lovers, and of course, good old-fashioned sex. I talk with old friends and even meet some new ones. I interview people from all walks of life, from recovered addicts to counselors, sex partners to perfect strangers. I'd like to thank my hosts, the Musqueam First Nation, as this podcast is recorded on their unceded ancestral territory, where I was born, where I work, and where I currently live and play. So settle in for an intimate conversation. Today we talk about internalized judgment and internalized patriarchy. We talk about divorce and blame. And then we circle back to yin and yang and the concept that all things contain their opposites. True receiving is discussed as considering... True receiving is discussed as considering the whole person, meaning you must also be receptive to yourself receiving. We talk about pain and pleasure in the context of yin and yang, and of course content warnings for trauma, crisis, gender binary stuff, heterosexual stuff, and technically I suppose woo if you're a very science-minded person and you struggle with traditional Chinese medicine. Again, I encourage you to think about the reasoning behind why something works, even if that thing is based in allegory or metaphor rather than empirical reasoning, and to stretch a little and to sort of consider something different if it's something that you typically don't consider. Not my usual content, but I appreciate being outside of my comfort zone and stretching too. Check out Winnie's free community, paid course, and shadow workbook at mindfulhealingheart.com. Now, let's go to the session with Winnie here on Intimate Interactions. Welcome everyone to another session of Intimate Interactions. I'm here with Winnie Chan Wang, a trauma-informed licensed acupuncturist and energy healer with a passion for uniting science and spirituality. Her specialty is having tried many different healing modalities and being an excellent perceiver of people. Welcome, Winnie.
Thank you for having me, Victor. I'm so excited to be back.
Yeah, so you mentioned you wanted to talk a little bit about how to sort of soften into receiving more as a receptive sex partner.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell a little bit of the backstory, which is what not to do. I think we have had thousands of years of patriarchy where we valued the masculine principle over the feminine principle. And what that means is we like to judge each other by what college we went to, how much money do you make, what car do you drive, you know, how tall are you, are you muscular, are you fit, what clothes do you wear. Not very often do we talk about a person in terms of how kind they are or how good they are at receiving the other person. And certainly I was brought up under this paradigm where I thought life was about working hard, getting into a good college, finding a well-paying job, getting married, having a house, raising kids. And what I find is I've been just go, 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 get, work hard, push through, until I had a divorce. And it really crushed my ego. Because I was like, man, what kind of energy healer am I if I don't have good relationships? Mm-hmm. What do we all want? At the end of the day, we all want to be loved. Mm-hmm. And so that led me to do a lot of shadow work to really answer the question, what is it within me? What shadow is blocking me from receiving love, from receiving myself, from receiving my partner? And so I wrote this book, and honestly, as I wrote the book, I did more and more shadow work. And it really made me realize every time I pointed my finger and blamed my ex-husband about everything I don't like about him. For example, you know, you are too aggressive or you're too selfish. And everything I ever complained about my partner is in me. So my inability to receive the totality of my partner, the good and the bad, the light and the dark, is because I wasn't able to receive the totality of me. I wasn't receiving my darkness. And for as long as I'm still judgmental of me, I'm going to be judgmental of my kids, of my partner. I'm going to find all the ways that separate us, right? I'm always competing, comparing, ranking. Okay, you're here and I'm here, or I'm here and you're here, and always ranking. Am I superior or inferior in the way I'm acting? Are you superior or inferior in the way that you're acting?
It's like the opposite of that healing connected kind of feeling you get with people. Judgment and comparison is still relational, but it's like separating instead of connecting.
Exactly. So what I've done is really, really deep shadow work, and I put it all in the book and the course, because I really want to be honest. I really want to have intimacy. I really want to receive the totality of me instead of pick and choose. Well, I love me when I am smiling and have good energy. Oh, no, I don't love me when I'm angry, right?
Yeah.
And the work that I've done allow me to really soften, to allow me to really receive my partner. So even when he gets angry, you know, the old me would be like, oh my God, I'm angry that you're angry. But having done the shadow work, the new me is, oh, I can find compassion for why you're angry. And by the way, your anger doesn't scare me and doesn't trigger me, because I have the same anger. You know, just because you get angry doesn't make you better or worse than me. Just because I'm calm doesn't make me better or worse than you. We're just the same. And as I'm able to receive and open my heart to my partner more and more, now when I do get triggered, instead of becoming a powerless victim and blaming and pointing finger at my partner at like, why didn't you do this? Why did you do this? I actually am able to soften and just receive it and be like, oh, I trust that I will have my process. I trust that you will have your process. And it doesn't scare me when we momentarily disconnect, because it's like the Tao symbol, the white fish and the black fish. Connection is followed by disconnection. Disconnection is followed by connection. So instead of freaking out, oh my God, what should I do? My partner is, you know, disconnected. I'm able to be like, well, if I just keep breathing, eventually the disconnection will turn back into connection. And I don't need to be anxiously attached to the connection, because I know that no matter how awesome our connection is right now, there will be something that causes us to be disconnected again. And it's really funny, I think in relationship, we have the anxious attachment and we have the avoidant attachment. The old me is like reading all the psychology textbook and want to be like blaming. You have anxious attachment. You need to do some therapy. Or you have avoidant attachment. You need to do some therapy. You need to go heal your childhood trauma. And now I am able to empty myself and be, and true listening, true receiving is this. If my partner has anxious attachment, and I'm currently dating a guy who has a lot of anxious attachment, I give him a little bit more to hold on to. So my daughter has avoidant attachment. And when she avoids me, I give her a little bit more space. So true receiving isn't just receiving what the other person is saying or doing, but it's really receiving their being, right? So if that person is anxious, give them a little bit more to hold on to. And if the other person's avoided, give them a little bit more space.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me.
And so one of my listeners, they asked me the question, well, Winnie, does that mean you're people pleasing? Because if they're avoidant, you give them more space. And if they're anxious, you give them more to hold on to. It seems a lot like you're people pleasing. And it is not people pleasing because it doesn't come from my
like needing validation or anything like that.
Yeah,
it comes more from
exactly.
Trying to meet them at their own where they like meeting them halfway.
Exactly. It comes from emptying myself. I'm not attached to the way I show up. I'm not attached to a certain fixed boundary or a set of ways. I can be flexible. When I'm with someone like this, I act like this. When I'm with someone like this, I act like that. And so it's just being very fluid.
It reminds me a little bit, and I know I mention this every once in a while, but Marsha Baczynski's Good Girl Recovery Project. She focuses a lot on dismantling that sense of being like a good girl that has to be people-pleasing and has to do all these things because they were socialized to do those things.
And so I know you're a kink practitioner, and this idea of a dom and a sub is that if you understand a sub, then you're a good dom. And if you understand the dom, then you're a good sub. It's this yin and yang relationship. And sometimes dom becomes sub and sub becomes dom.
It is complicated, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Doms can definitely be service oriented and subs can definitely take initiative to do things that would be helpful in a situation.
Exactly. So actually, in my experience, the best doms are the really good listeners, and the best subs are the really good at speaking up for themselves.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree.
And this is, you know, witnessed by within a leader is a follower, within a follower is a leader. So that's why within the white fish, there's a black dot. Within the black dot, blackfish, there's a white dot.
It's a really interesting, like, central value to hold that all things contain their opposite and that things are in states of transformation. It's a really good way of avoiding a static worldview.
Yes, yes.
I feel like I should have a whole bunch of questions, but I've just been so engaged with listening to you talk as you're speaking.
Thank you, because you've been really good at receiving me.
That is essentially what I'm supposed, I guess, what I think I'm supposed to do as a podcast host, but also what I enjoy doing. I like meeting different people and listening to lots of interesting stuff. So this session, we were focused on mostly talking about how to soften into connection as a receptive partner. And I'm wondering if you had any sort of closing thoughts about it, or if you wanted to speak a little bit about mindfulness, because I find that Emily Nagoski says as well in Come As You Are just how important mindfulness is during sex, to just sort of observe pleasure and sensation without judging it. I was wondering if you wanted to speak to that.
Whether in sex or in life, pain and pleasure is something we don't choose, right? Pain happens. Pleasure happens. What we do get to choose is whether we resist it or we receive it.
Mm.
So in the book, Signs of an Enlightenment, Shinzen Yang wrote these beautiful four equations, and it makes so much sense to whether you are a cake practitioner or not. Mm. And he says, pain times resistance equals suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have pain, like let's say you got COVID and you're coughing and you resist, which means, I hate it. So if you hate the fact that you caught COVID, then you're going to have a lot of suffering. The second equation says pain times equanimity. Equanimity means radical acceptance or receiving. So if you receive the pain, just continue breathing with mindfulness. Then it leads to purification, right? So basically that's shadow work, right? When you receive pain and all you do is receive with compassion, you're actually going to be purified.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, the more shadow work you do, the less and less triggered you will be. So you get purer and purer.
Mm-hmm.
The other two equation is pleasure times resistance equals frustration. So for example, if I'm having sex, but I'm thinking, oh, sex is dirty, I shouldn't have sex, I have too many partners, I judge myself for being a slut, whatever, mm-hmm. I resist it, then that's going to lead to frustration, right? Another example is, let's say I'm having mac and cheese. If I think, oh my God, mac and cheese is going to make me fat, it leads to frustration.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have pleasure and I meet it with equanimity, and again, that means radical acceptance or receiving the totality of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have pleasure and I receive it, it leads to fulfillment. So whether you're having sex or having mac and cheese, it's a pleasure. If you totally receive it, it's going to lead to the ultimate fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the piece about mindfulness, is that we get to watch when we are resistant, right? So when we have pain or when we have pleasure, we practice mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
To watch if we have resistance, and if we do, we breathe. And the practice is to receive.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Winnie Chan Wang. I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thank you.
So how did you like it, Intimates? Discuss your ideas with the community at facebook.com/IntimateVictor, or tweet me at IntimateVictor, or follow my Instagram, you guessed it, at IntimateVictor. If you can spare the cost of coffee to help the show keep going, head to patreon.com/victorsalmon. We hugely appreciate your help to continue making intimate conversations for you and yours. If not, you can always help other intimacy nerds find the podcast by leaving us a review anywhere online, especially iTunes. Or you can just tell a friend. The opening music is On Hold For You, made of algorithmically generated notes and chords and played by an AI-rendered saxophonist. The closing music is Gymnopédie No. 1 by Eric Satie. Both are provided royalty-free, courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Thanks so much for your time, and may your most important relationships be filled with the intimate, rich interactions you crave. Be well.